something else in the way. Let me just do a little bit of an example of how this might work. Okay, so let's take a music stand, which I never use these things because I'm not musical, right? But this moves up and down. Okay, great. Okay, so let's say that there has been a wrong committed against you and by someone else. And that thing, maybe it wasn't real huge, whatever, but it was clearly a wrong that is now in between you and that person. All right, got it? You haven't lost me so far? Okay? All right, let's carry on. So maybe you don't do anything with that. Maybe you say, oh, that's just one thing. It just happened. You know, they shouldn't have said that or done that, but we carry on. We try and ignore it. Well, maybe a little while later, something else happens, right? And now all of a sudden it's bigger than it was, or they continued to act in that same way, and it's now becoming more of a barrier between you and them. It's not something that you can just overlook. As a matter of fact, every time you see that person now, you see that thing, or you're thinking about that thing, whatever is that is in between you. And then as time goes on, right, if we don't do anything and if we just kind of allow it to fester, it becomes, and I just hunched down a little bit, all of a sudden we can't see, you know, we really can't see this person anymore. All we do is see the thing that is in between us. And every time, they don't even have to be around anymore, and we're just kind of stewing over it and festering over it. But it really, we no longer have a relationship with them because we just can't get beyond this thing, right? So the biblical definition of forgiveness is when we remove it, when we take away whatever it is that is in between. And the same word is used in the Bible when it talks about, you know, Joseph thought, different Joseph now, New Testament, Joseph and Mary. Joseph thought about divorcing or putting away Mary before he really understood what was going on there about Jesus' birth. It used the same word, that he was wanting to put her away quietly, to quietly remove the thing. But it's the idea that forgiveness is about when we are willing, when someone is willing to remove what was in between us. It does not mean that everything in that situation has been figured out, but it means that we're no longer going to allow that to be a barrier in our relationship. It doesn't mean that we forget everything that has gone on, but it does mean that we're deliberately choosing to remove that between us and that person. How does that work? Well, the best demonstration of that would be through Jesus Christ, as we think of what He has done. I asked you to come to Ephesians. Let's do that for a moment. Ephesians chapter 1, as I put everything back together here. And in Ephesians 1, God is really explaining this through the Apostle Paul. Just draw your attention for just one second to verse 7. As it says, in Him, speaking of Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. So it says to us that we have been redeemed by Christ through His blood, understanding that our sinfulness is what was in between us and God. But Jesus Christ, by going to the cross on our behalf, by dying for our sin, He then removed the penalty of sin from us. He removed our sin. And He did this through His death, as it speaks of, through His blood that was shed, but then also according to the riches of His grace. This is something that He has done freely, lovingly. He has said, this is where you are in your sin, and I am giving my life on your behalf. Because I love you, because I care for you, God says, I am willing to remove that. I have done that through the cross. And then, of course, we by faith then receive that gift, and that is what salvation is. If we were to go into chapter 2 in the book of Ephesians, it describes it again, but just a little different way. Chapter 2 and verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation. And that speaks a little bit like the analogy that we had, something in between us and God, right? And Christ, through his work on the cross, he's broken that down. He's removed that barrier. He's put it away from us so that we can speak as the psalmist does in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That is what he has done. He has forgiven us as we have come to him and expressed our sorrow and our repentance over our sin. His forgiveness is there for us, and we're so thankful for that. And so if you are here today and you've not known what it is to be forgiven by God, then I just invite you to come before the Lord, just as we are. Come with all of our brokenness, all of our struggle, all of our pain, all of our anguish. Come before him. Receive the forgiveness that he offers to each one of us. That's the absolute best thing that you could ever do with your life. So as we understand that, we understand that God has forgiven us through Christ, and therefore then we are able to learn what it is to forgive others. We are able to kind of wade into this mess, if you want to call it that, because we have been forgiven. And because we have been forgiven, we then have what is needed to be able to forgive others. So let's come back to Genesis. And where do I want you to go? Let's go to Genesis 45 to start our time off, and we'll catch a few different things. Genesis 45. Let me say a technical word here. Because of the study that we're doing, we want to learn about forgiveness, but we're not going to see that laid out all in a nice, neat package like we might expect or like some of us would like, just four easy steps to this or that. What we have is intertwined throughout the life of Joseph. We have these pictures that remind us and teach us about forgiveness, but you don't see it all in one spot. And so there are a couple of times where we're going to jump to another spot. And I'm always afraid when I do this sort of thing, I'm afraid myself of taking something out of context to making it say something that it does not say. So I want to be careful with that, but also recognizing that there are some general principles that I think we can find here in the life of Joseph, and just see what we can learn together about forgiving others. So I have five things here, and if time allows, we'll get through them and just be able to kind of put some pieces together, because my guess is that there are some of us that are struggling with this right now. It just happens in life, and there are people that we're having maybe a hard time being able to forgive. Or there's a situation that we just can't seem to get beyond. So I think that this is important for us, and we don't want to just overlook it or brush it off. We want to deal with it. So if you're a note taker, I'll try and say these things in such a way that you can scribble a few thoughts down. Otherwise, just feel free to listen this morning. But as we're learning to forgive others, there are some things that will help us. Number one would be to listen to God's perspective. Listen to God's perspective. We won't spend a lot of time on this because this is basically what we were talking about last week. But look at Genesis 45 and verse 8. Joseph says to his brothers, he says, "So now it was not you who sent me here, but God." If we were to go back to verse 5, "God sent me," the second half of verse 5, "for God sent me before you to preserve life." Remember now, with everything that Joseph's brothers have done to him in the past, and the life that Joseph has had, whether it's Potiphar's wife and that whole situation, or his brothers, everything, God has been wanting to use those situations for good. And we're not blaming God for the wrong that has taken place, because God wants to use the situation for good. It doesn't matter how bad it is. God is not the author of sin. He's not the one who breaks things in that sense. He is the fixer. He takes those broken situations and does something good with them. In His sovereignty, in His providence, in His goodwill, He desires good things. But you have to listen to God's perspective in that, because if we don't, we simply see the bad. We simply see, this is no good. I do not deserve this. Or I can't possibly get beyond this. But God has a different perspective. Instead of evil, God has a good purpose that He wants to accomplish. He's doing something bigger than what we can simply see. Now, if you want to listen to God's perspective in this, then sometimes that's going to involve trust. Because you may not physically be able to see anything good at the moment. But it is a matter of trusting God and His Word. Trusting that God is faithful, right? That's the word we keep coming back to, that God is faithful. And we can't see the good yet, but we trust Him to work it out in His way, in His timing. We give that to Him. So we listen to God's perspective, which is that He wants to do something good out of the broken and bad situation. Secondly, look at, still in chapter 45, focusing on verse 5 for a moment. And again, as Joseph speaks with his brothers here, he says, "But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here." That right there is something for us to catch. And so my point number 2 here would be that we need to let go of anger, bitterness, or grudges that are in the way. We need to let go. That's part of this process. And if anybody breaks out into a song from Frozen, from the movie Frozen, I'm going to scream, okay? So don't do that. You might be thinking it, but just don't go there, all right? But we do need to let go of anger and bitterness and anything that we might be holding on to here. And so what Joseph says to his brothers, he says, "I know you're going to be angry right now because this past is coming back to haunt you." But Joseph gets ahead of that and he says, "Don't be angry." He says, "Don't be angry at yourselves," right? That's interesting. If you remember back earlier in the Joseph story, the guy that they hated was Joseph, right? The dreamer. And it said earlier, you know, like 3 times in the same chapter, this idea that they hated him, and then they hated him even more because of the dreams that he told. And now Joseph, the one who was hated, is saying, "Don't be angry with yourselves." God has clearly been at work in his life to get him to come to that perspective, right? So we have to be willing to let go of some things. Let go of that anger. It's just not going to be helpful. No matter how right you feel, no matter how justified you feel in that anger, it's not going to help you moving forward. And so may I challenge us to take a step back from the situation and not allow anger to be part of the recipe that moves us toward reconciliation, toward forgiveness. Joseph says, don't be grieved or angry because of the past. That would be the natural thing, right? Of course you'd be angry because of what's gone on. Of course you'd be angry because of what is now confronting you. That's the natural way of things. And yet God's way is different. God's way is different. So we listen to God's perspective. We let go of anger and bitterness and anything else that's going to be a distraction or get in the way. And still in chapter 45, the third thing is be willing to come close to the individual. Notice verse 4. Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. This is just when Joseph has revealed himself. He's just done that in verse 3. He says, I'm Joseph. I'm your brother. And so the brothers are standing there in shock. And Joseph says, I want you to come near. Come here. Come close. Look at verse 10. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. He says, come. The first time he says, come near physically right now, because we just need to be close. There needs to be hugging, there needs to be weeping, there needs to be this huge amount of emotion. Come close. Just as there was negative emotion in the anger, there now needs to be positive emotion in terms of a sigh of relief and weeping over the wrong. So he says, come close. Be willing to come close to the person that has wronged you. Wow. That's powerful stuff. Now don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting that we put ourselves in physically dangerous spots, or that we are not using our head in this matter. That you don't, just because you are exercising forgiveness does not mean that you trust the individual in the same way. Those are two different issues here. But we have a father, we have brothers, and we have one brother who they've been distant and separate for so long. And some of you know the pain and the anguish of divided families or divided friendships for years and everything that goes with that. So part of this is, let's come near again. This willingness to just lay that stuff down and be willing to talk or be willing to work through some things or. Be willing. Let's keep going. Number four, you confess your wrong. You confess your wrong. Let's jump to chapter 50 for a moment. We read it earlier in our time of scripture reading this morning. But in chapter 50 and verse 17, thus you shall say to Joseph, and there's some messengers involved here, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Okay, that is, you talk about naming the sin, there it is, right there. When they say, we acknowledge that we've sinned and we've done evil and it's directed toward you. Okay, that's very clear, that's very plain, that's very specific. The weird thing in this case is they actually, there's some fear involved. They send messengers to Joseph in verse 16 saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, there's a little bit of something going on there I don't suggest you sending your confession through somebody else. Okay? That's not what we want to take from this. But we do want to catch that here is a very clear confession of the wrong. Man, we blew it. We did evil. We sinned in this matter. And I think it is very helpful for us to own it, right? To take responsibility. And if you were to come to me for any marriage counseling or any issues that way, I'll tell you right up front, that's one of the things that I'm looking for is not who we can blame. And we need to recognize that everyone is a part of it somehow. But just want to ask, okay, right now, so that we can deal with this matter before the Lord, what part of this do you take responsibility for? Okay? And in most situations, we understand it would be a shared responsibility, and every situation is different, so we don't want to lump them all together and say this is always the way it is. But usually, it takes two to tangle, and we understand that there's some things within us because we're sinful, broken people, and so what are the things that we will own in this and be responsible that we have sinned and been a part of this? And so that is what the brothers are doing here, is they're saying, oh man, we're just asking for your forgiveness. And what Joseph does is he just reaffirms that, hey, we're good, guys. We have dealt with this. Just because Dad has passed away now, that doesn't change anything here in chapter 50. It says in verse 19, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me. He confirms that, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. What a beautiful picture of God's forgiveness and this bigger perspective that God is at work. And so if we want to learn to forgive, then we need to confess our wrong before God and before that person that we have wronged. We need to be willing to do that. And so you'll notice that this is part of us learning to forgive others. You think to yourself, wait a second, it's about learning to forgive that other person, right? But we're turning things back to look at ourselves here for a little bit and to be able to say, okay, here's where I'm at in this. It's not just about them and what they have done, but it's looking within our own hearts. Wow, this is heavy, eh? You probably had no idea you were going to get hit with a ton of bricks this morning as you come to church and it's sunny and everything out and whatever. Not wanting to wreck any moods, but wanting to be very real and honest with the relationships that we have, whether it be with one another or someone else that is totally removed from our local church context, whatever that means in your life and in your situation. So we've got four things. Number one, listen to God's perspective. Number two, let go of anger. Number three, be willing to come close to the person. Number four, confess your wrong. And then number five, lay it down and don't pick it up again. Lay it down or remove it, whatever you want to say, and don't pick it up again. Chapter 45, if we go back there again to chapter 45 and verse 24. So Joseph has spoken with the brothers. They're going to go back and get Dad and all come and be together. But Joseph said something just as they're leaving. In verse 24, this is kind of interesting. He sent his brothers away. I'm in chapter 45 and verse 24. So he sent his brothers away, and they departed, and he said to them, see that you do not become troubled along the way. Other translations that say it something like this: don't quarrel amongst yourselves on the way home. That's interesting. There would be a tendency for the brothers to squabble amongst themselves, because of everything that has gone on. You know, you can just see them heading for home and saying, "Wow, we never expected to find Joseph again, but here he is." And then the brothers starting to squabble because this seemed to be their pattern amongst themselves. I always had plans to look after him, but it was him that, sold him here in slavery and started us down. You can just see how that could turn and how they could bicker amongst themselves. It's easy, even though you have to some degree dealt with things or to some degree confronted that thing that was in between you and them. And it's easy for us to, because that's the pattern we're used to in life, to pick it up again. And so Joseph says, now, don't squabble amongst yourselves on the way back home. And he just wants them to be at peace. Why? Because God is clearly at work, and this is a good situation. Yes, it was meant for evil. God is doing a good thing. So let's proceed forward now with God's perspective. Don't squabble and fight over it. That's over. That's past. And that is what you and I need to do as well. Because for some of us, we go through all of these things that we've talked about, we confess it, we'd be willing to put ourselves in a vulnerable position again, and then before long, it's just the way our mind works, and we're kind of rehashing it again, and we're kind of there again. And it's continuing to take its toll on us. So what we need to do is recognize that that is something that God removes, that God takes out of our relationship, and therefore we need to keep in step with what God is doing here. If God has led us to a moment of forgiveness, and that's what God does, then we need to keep walking in that forgiveness rather than go back to the way things were before. Oh, this is so important for us. This matter of forgiving, this matter of being forgiven. Is this easy, what we're talking about? No. Is it good? Yes. Some of you have wrestled through situations. You have gone through extreme times of pain and separation, and you've dealt with it. You may even at this stage say, nothing's perfect yet. Things aren't perfect, but they're better. And it's moving in a good direction. And that is where we need to be as believers. We sang earlier, Count Your Many Blessings, right? And so there, I want to share with you just as we close here that there are blessings to walking down this road of forgiveness. There are blessings. They're not always the same blessings. Not every situation is the same. Sometimes you don't see these things in your physical lifetime, the results of the reconciliation. But there are blessings. Let me share with you just one here that was between Joseph and his father. And come with me to chapter 48. Chapter 48. And this is part of the reunion that's happening. Dad has come to Egypt. The brothers are there. They've got their family together. And they're having the reunion. Whatever they do, they're celebrating. And in verse 8 of chapter 48... Then Israel, that's Jacob, saw Joseph's sons and said, "Who are these?" And Joseph said to his father, "These are my sons, whom God has given me in this place." And he said, that's Jacob saying, "Please bring them to me and I will bless them." Now the eyes of Israel, Jacob, were dim with age, so that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them. Just pause here for a second. If every grandparent is not doing a little bit of weeping in their heart right now over this story, you need to catch the emotion, right? His grandpa seeing his grandkids for the first time. So he's embracing them and he's kissing them. And in verse 11, Israel said to Joseph, "I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God has also shown me your offspring." So Joseph brought them from beside his knees. He bowed down with his face to the earth, and it continues on to talk about how granddad now blesses these grandchildren. What a powerful moment. But dad understands that this could have gone a whole different way. Jacob recognizes that there was a time when he thought it was all over. It was gone. It was done. He thought Joseph was dead. That's end of story. It's all bad, nothing good. But God, in His faithfulness, has seen fit to give Joseph back. So we've got the father-son reunion. But what God has done, when we learn what forgiveness is, and when we walk in that, in this case, God has blessed in such a tremendous way that Grandpa is able to hug and embrace those grandchildren that he thought he would never have. You talk about blessing. You talk about blessing. And so we've got here these two children, Manasseh and Ephraim. They don't fully get everything that has gone on, but they're just one part of the bigger picture that comes when we're willing to forgive. They're just a part of the bigger picture and plan of what God is doing. And we could trace through Israel's history and see that. But we could trace through your family tree, and somewhere along the way, we should be able to see evidence, clear evidence of God's faithfulness and blessing. I know you want to be a part of that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we learn to forgive, we cannot do this alone, and we thank you that the Master Teacher has again gone before us and laid the way, and that you're not calling us to do something that you have not done yourself. Thank you for forgiving us of our sin through Jesus Christ our Lord. We do not take that for granted. But we ask that in the power of the forgiveness that we have received, that you would enable us then to be able to forgive others, to remove those things that are in the way of a fruitful, significant relationship with others. Oh Lord, help us in these things, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.